think I fixed it.
So so when you were young, you were saying then you had this is when you were in the timber corps. You had,
yeah, while the war was on and while we were working, every Saturday night, the pavilion wasn't there then. That was just the playing fields. But they were either up at the school. They used to have whist drives and dances when I was younger.
Yeah.
But while the war was on, we had what we used to call the sixpenny hops in the assembly rooms.
Yeah.
And every Saturday night they'd have dance there.
Yeah.
And there was Americans were down at the Clanna.
Yeah.
Down there, some of them used to come up here, or some people from Whitebrook, and it was always a band, you know, a proper band
were
playing. I can't think of the man's name, but they were really lovely Saturday nights. It was quite good, you know.
Yeah, sounds lovely.
Yeah.
And did you see, there were Americans with her? Did you see a lot of Americans?
Well, the ones that came to the dances,
yeah,
they weren't very often in the village otherwise, you know.
Yeah. Did they have money in their pockets or...?
I never really had anything much to do with them unless somebody come and ask you for a dance. That's different, you know.
Yeah.
But when I was single, not only if there wasn't dances here, we used to go to Sling. They used to have dances at Sling Club, which were very good.
Yeah.
There was lots of young boys around here. I've thought since, you better not pop this.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law never liked me when I came.
Your mother-in-law didn't?
And I think perhaps, looking back, I think perhaps it was because I was the only girl, and I used to go to the pictures every Monday night and Saturday night at Breen.
Yeah.
And there was usually half a dozen boys.
Was there a cinema at Breen then?
Oh, yes. Where the club is now, that was a cinema.
Right.
And we used to go every Monday night. Well, some of the boys would go on the bus because they hadn't got bicycles.
Yeah.
But my brother and myself and another boy who used to live on the common, they went as well. Well, I didn't come back from work. I got home at 6:30 when I was in the forest, really.
Yeah.
And I'd have a quick tea.
Yeah.
And a change.
Yeah.
I'd get on my bike.
Yeah.
And I'd be in Green Picture House by 7:00.
Yeah.
But what used to happen, you see, these boys would go on, my brother and this other boy would go on to the pictures before me. And they'd get my ticket, and I could walk straight in. And then I'd ride one of their crossbars back home. And one of the boys that hadn't got a bike would ride my bike.
Yeah.
So it meant, you know, and of course, there were no other girls to go, only me. A couple of times my friend went, but her grandmother didn't let her come very often, so it was just me. And then in the week, when I'd go up in the square and stand talking to be with all these boys, and it was just all friends.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them later on I used to go to COVID pictures with. We'd ride as far as Clearwell and put our bikes there in somebody's house and go out there. A friend of this boy used to come with us. We'd walk into Coford, go to the pictures, come back home, pick up the bikes, go to Sling Dance Hall, and then come back home. And we were just all good friends.
Yeah.
There was never any trouble with any of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone ever made a pass at me, I can remember rightly.
Yeah.
So I think perhaps that's when my mother-in-law didn't like me. But that didn't matter. I wasn't worried.
So when did you meet your husband then?
I saw him when I was going to school.
You saw him then?
They come to St Breville's when I think he was about 7 or 8.
Yes.
To the farm. So I never had anything to do with him until about 12, 12 months before he got married, I expect. Because he was...
What was his name?
Dennis Biddle.
And what was his background then?
Farmer.
He was a farmer.
Yeah. But during the war... Well, he was a butcher to start with. And, of course, when the war... But he also drove a tractor. I think they were the first ones to have a tractor anywhere around. And so during the war, he was exempt because he had to shut the butcher shop because he was the only one that had got the tractor and he could go working on all the... He was more useful working all these fields and all the ground, you see, during the war rather than going in the in the forces.
Yeah.
So he did join the fire. Yep, he belonged to the fire service. Yeah. Luckily, he would never have called out to go.
So how long were you courting before you got married then?
Oh, only about 12 months.
12 months.
But I'd known him all my life.
Yeah.
Oh, well, since he came to the village sort of thing. Because he was just... When we got married, I was 22 and he was 24. But a few couple of... About a fortnight or so after he was 25, so you could say he was 3 years older than me, really. Mm.
Could I ask you some questions about the forest in the war? Because you were saying there were dances and you saw Americans. You're working in the forestry. Did there were prisoners of war in the forest. Did you ever see any of them?
Well, I suppose not that I didn't really, because I was already married and down the farm then.
Yeah.
But there were prisoners, because there used to be some worked in the village, like, you know, in the farms around here.
Were they Italians or Germans?
Italians, I think, most of them.
Italians,
yeah.
Mm. And did you ever hear any, because there was some bombing at the beginning of the war, did you ever hear any of that?
We had a bomb drop on our ground.
Did you?
Yes, down at Mill End.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect us because it was in, there was our farm and then two fields on was another house and it dropped between the...
This was after you got married?
Yeah. And yes.
Did you hear the bomb fall?
No, I don't think so. You didn't really take much notice when the sirens went. They sort of...
Yeah.
You know, we did, oh, they ain't going to drop here, you know, we weren't to...
Yeah.
They were making, there could have been one dropping a bomb that he hadn't let go on his way back or something like that.
Were they surprised, the family, that there was a bomb been dropped?
Well, no, we just took it as...
Just happened?
Yes, it was just one of those things.
Yeah. Did you experience rationing during the war?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Tell me about that. What was that like? Were the things you missed or was it...
Oh, we missed an awful lot because, I mean, if I wanted any cream, I wasn't allowed to take it off the top of the milk or anything.
Yeah.
Because we had our own milk, our own cows, and so had our own milk.
Yeah.
And, of course, everything was rationed so much. But, of course, we had somebody coming round and taking samples of the milk all the time. And if it got to a certain level... then you'd be in trouble. You wouldn't be able to sell it.
A certain level of...
Well, but how much cream was on it, look.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How often did you come, Dad?
But it'd be a couple of times a year at least, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was more than that.
Yeah, because she used to come and take samples.
About every two or three months, I should think. She'd come and take a sample.
Yeah.
And it would go off somewhere or other, and you know.
And she'd also have a bottle off the van, wouldn't she?
Pardon?
Have a bottle off the van as well.
She could come and take a sample at any time.
Yeah. So when you were during the rationing, were what things were difficult to get? What sort of?
Oh, everything: sweets, sugar. We had so much, a little bit of butter, a little bit of margarine, everything that. You couldn't get any fruit. Like if you wanted to make a cake, you couldn't get any fruit to go in it. Only so much. Like when my sister got married, some people saved up the sugar, the fruit for her to have a wedding cake. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it was very tight. Oh yes, the food was. But I think if they'd done it now, rationed it now, the people would be healthier.
Yeah.
Because you were healthier having that food rationing, I think, than you are now.
Yeah. Yes.
But it was just it was enough to keep you keep you going.
Was there any black market for goods or anything?
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes, on the Quiet, I expect there was.
Yeah.
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 So...
During that period, did you ever go to out of the forest during the war? Did you ever visit anywhere else?
Oh, might have gone out for the day, but that was all. I never really went anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't if you were on the farm, you know, you were sort of tied.
Yeah.
So.
Hold on. Can I ask you about the ankle competition? Tell me about the ankle competition.
I remembered it the other day, but that was before, that must have been before the war.
Yeah.
When I was in my, I must have been about 17 or 18.
And how did the ankle competition work?
Well, it was just one of those things. They'd have a dance, and they'd have a whist drive first, and then they'd have a dance.
Yeah.
And it was just one thing.
So did they just cover you up and they went round and...
Well, they had these curtains. I expect it was up on the stage or somewhere.
Yeah.
And we'd all stand behind the curtains with just your ankles showing.
Yeah.
And somebody come along and judge it. That
was
all.
Ankles. And who was the judge?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember that. I have no idea.
Going back to the war years and the village life then, did the village have electricity then?
No.
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 No. So how did you get the radio and things like that?
Well, I can remember the first radio that my father had.
Mm.
We were living in the, just across here next to the blacksmith shop that was then. And it was a Saturday afternoon. What was on? I can't think what was on. But we were up in the back garden. And you had to have accumulators to have a radio.
This was like a battery.
It was like a big battery. Eddie Price kept the garage. I don't know, but he must have bought it off Eddie Price, I think. Because I must have been, because they got the shop, the garage down there. And you'd use this accumulator and then you'd take it back down to have it recharged, that sort of thing, you know. I can't think what was on, whether it was... No, he's gone. Might have been a cricket match or something like that. Anyway, that's the first day we had a wireless.
Yeah.
And so then in the end, we'd have this, listen to all sorts of things, you know, whatever was on.
And you had your own wireless eventually.
Yeah, well, we had our own wireless then when we had the accumulators. But you had to have the accumulators to be charged up.
Yeah.
To use it.
Yeah. What's it? Well, do you remember any of the programmes that were on then?
No, I'm afraid I don't. It was a long time ago.
And was that during the war, after the war?
Oh, this is long before the war.
This is
when I was still going to school.
Yeah. Did you hear the declaration of war when they... Or was that all that on the radio or...?
Well, we were down the farm then.
No.
No.
No. Were we?
No.
Not start war. So...
What
1939, when the war started.
Oh, it must have been down at Elladine, I should think.
No. Sorry, I'm butting in now. 39, you were married in 1939. You were still living or working...
Oh, I was still at home, of course I was, yes. Because that was before I went there.
Yeah.
I could have been, I don't know whether I was in service.
Yeah. In the village, as you were... you know, we were sort of saying about services. If you had to have a battery for the radio, did you have lights? How did you light the house?
Lamps.
Lamps.
Yeah.
What
sort of lamps and candles, torches, lanterns, anything that you'd have a light with.
Yeah.
No, because we never had electric until after we went to the farm. And, well, no, Dennis, when we went to the farm to live, there was no electric. Dennis had his own, generator to do the milking.
Because
there was no milking, when his brother was doing it, there was no, he had to milk by hand. So when we moved down there, Dennis put the milking outside, put all the machines in the cow sheds.
Yeah.
Dan Elder, and I used to help him doing the plumbing, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he put the electric all through the coaches and all through the house.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, did I touch it?
No, you didn't.
All through the house.
Yeah.
Yourself, and run the generator.
Yeah.
And we've been down there a couple of years. Been down there a couple of years, I think, before the electric came. It was in Clearwell, it was in Coldford, but there was nothing across between our, between the farm at the top and Coldford, on where we were.
Yeah.
So we had to pay for the electric to be put on.
Yeah.
For them to bring it from that farm up there to us. And we had the electric, and we had a electric cooker then, and it paid for the electric cooker and everything on the end of the electric bill, having it that way, because we hadn't got to, yeah. We had got, what we used to cook with before was a Rayburn.
Mm.
But when the electric come, we had an electric cooker.
Yeah.
And
so you had electric a bit before everybody else then on the farm?
Well,
with the generator.
Oh, yes, but yeah. Dennis had done that himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they come to switch the mains on,
yeah,
everything in that house and outside passed, all they had to do was connect up.
Yeah.
And he'd never had a lesson in doing anything. He was a jack of all trades when it comes to plumbing, electric, everything he wanted to do, he could do himself. Woodwork, it didn't matter what it was. And yet he'd never done it. He might have done Woodward at school, I don't know. Yeah. He didn't do any of the rest of the things.
Mm. Now, this was before the NHS, so what happened if you, you know, if you were ill? Who was the village doctor then?
Well, you had to pay, didn't you? You had to pay the bill.
And who was the doctor then in this area?
Well, Dr. Nanda was there, and then there was Dr. Hunt. And then we had Dr. Esco. So it was either Dr. Hunt or Dr. Nando.
Do you remember Dr. Nando?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a lovely man.
He was?
Mm.
Yeah, so when you say he was lovely, what do you mean? Was he a good doctor?
But he was a good doctor. Oh, gosh, yes. They used to come from all over the place to see Dr. Nando.
He was a very popular doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was the village people helped him buy the house.
Right.
I always understood that anyway.
The village people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did they need to do that? To keep him here?
To keep him here, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was such a good doctor, and he wanted to... I don't know, because, as I said, I wasn't born when he was here before I was born, so...
Yeah, yeah. But you're saying about paying for the doctor and so forth. So your family, if you were ill, then you'd have
to
pay?
Oh, you had to pay, yes.
Yeah. If you're on a farm, would you accept a gift in kind, a piece of meat or something?
I got no idea, because, of course, we weren't on the farm. We were only living in the cottages.
Village, yeah.
Look.
Was that, did it affect whether people called the doctor, whether they could afford it?
Oh, most probably he must have done. Anybody that couldn't afford to have him, I should think, would, you know, you only had him if it was really had to, sort of thing, I should imagine, anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you.
Because before the NHS started, Dilke Hospital and Lydney Hospital were paid for by so much out of the miners' pay packets every week.
Yeah.
So the hospitals really belong to the miners.
Yeah.
And every Whit Sunday, you wouldn't have got round that church. Because there'd be people used to walk from Cinderford to come to the bread and cheese. And as long as the bread and cheese was thrown out, you could go down the wood and collect your pea sticks. But if they stop it, you can't go down there and do it, because then that's one of the things with it. But in those days, it was so popular, and so many people, because you wouldn't get round there anyway, and all these people would walk, and then you'd have about 20 buses come afterwards, when it was all over, to take the people back to Cinderford and Bream and all over the place.
So why did they come, all those people?
All the money that was collected.
Yeah.
Went to the two hospitals.
I see.
Of course, once the NHS started, taken over by the government, they didn't have to collect it for those two hospitals because they had all went into the National Health. Well, yeah. There wasn't. That's when it started dropping off for people coming.
Talking of mining, you said your father was a miner?
Yes, but he wasn't actually getting any of the coal. He was on the lift, taking them up and down.
Ah, so he
was on there.
Surface and yeah, on the lift.
People used to create about him.
Oh.
Well, they'd write false notes, wouldn't they? And he wouldn't accept them. So he wouldn't take them up.
Really?
Mm.
So
I heard a lot of people say, well, your father, that old bugger.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean false notes, though? What do they?
Well, they'd write a note to say they'd had permission to go up. And he'd know it was false.
Up to the surface.
Yeah, up to the surface, so he wouldn't take them up. A lot of people used to complain about him.
So he was in charge of the lift in the colliery?
That's right, yeah.
Which colliery did he work in?
Pargutter.
Pargutter.
Down at Bream. Down the bottom, you know.
Yeah. Did he work there all his life, or...?
No, apparently when I don't ever remember. He must have gone during the war, or just after the First World War. I don't know, because he was apparently, according to my sister, he worked at the Chepstow shipyard.
Oh, it did, at the shipyard. That's really interesting.
So my sister always said, but I don't know. I was never told it, but she's apparently... Yeah. She seemed to know more about my parents when they were young. I never knew anything about him when they was young, because I suppose I never asked, so I never got told.
So your father worked at Bream, at the colliery there, Pargutter. And how long did he work there for then?
Well, until he retired.
Mm. So. Do you remember when that was, or is that after the war?
Mm. Yeah, oh God, yes, I suppose it would be after the war.
In the 50s.
He was, he's been dead. Our Dennis has been dead 32 years this August. And my dad died about 3 or 4 years before he did.
Yeah. Did he enjoy working at the colliery? Did he like his job there?
You never knew really, because he used to cycle there every... He never went on the bus.
Yeah.
And years before he died, they had the bus taking the... Because quite a few from the village working in Pargutter. But he'd never go on the bus. He always rode a bike. And it was a bike that... what they call a backpedal. There was no brakes. He had to... Those days, some sort, you sort of backpedal to stop the bike, otherwise you go over the handlebars.
That's interesting. I suppose he was, in your lifetime, you've seen the colliery, like you're saying, a lot of men in the village worked in the colliery.
Mm.
That's interesting, because they didn't work on the land. Did most of them work in the colliery from St Brevels?
Well, I don't know. I suppose not most of them, because, this is when I was young, a lot of the older men around here perhaps worked in the colliery. Because in those days, if you worked in the colliery, you got your so much coal free.
Yeah.
I don't know how often it was a year, but all of a sudden there used to be a man up on the common and his wife after he went... with this pony and cart, and they used to go to the pony to the pits, pick up this coal, come and drop it out in your gateway. We often had to come home and find the coal dropped in the gateway. We'd have to get rid of that before we could go through the gate, sort of thing. Sure. You know, and it was part of their wages.
Yeah.
They had so much coal.
Yeah.
So
after the war. So during the war, you'd married your husband, and then you went to work up. You went to live with him on the farm.
Well, we lived in sort of a couple of houses before we went to the farm.
Yeah, that was before he got his own farm.
It was the family farm.
Yeah.
I mean, we only had, it was ours only about 4 years before he died.
Yeah.
So that was 30 odd years after. Yeah.
So when you went to work went to the farm with him. Was that different for you, working on a farm? Was that a new experience?
Oh, yes. I mean, perhaps we'd gone, might go out in the hay fields when they cut the hay and sort of play around and pick them up and build them up, do all sorts of things when you play in there, you know, in those days. You seem to get different summers. Always seem to get some nice weather to do the haymaking.
Yeah.
And my father always used to go down to my husband's farm and help out there with the hay. When we were kids and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he worked in a pit, but he was also a gardener. And he worked in the castle gardens, and he always done our own gardens, or might help other people, you know. But he was a good gardener.
Yeah.
So
when you became a farmer's wife, I mean, was that a bit of a surprise to you? Was it a challenge?
Well, I always said that I'd never marry a bee farmer. Because when I was in that first 12 months at 14, I went up out daily down at the farm by the church. And I always have to go out and get the coal. And the cats had always messed it in. And I said, I'll never marry a bee farmer. What did I do? Turned around and married one.
Yeah. And the cat still used to get in our coal.
And was it hard work, was it, being a farmer's wife, do you think?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I often had to go out. I don't say first when the children were little, but I did. We had our own milk round.
Yeah.
So we bought from your farm? Bottled our milk.
Yeah.
And went, took it round, sold it, bin in the bottles.
Yeah.
And
How did you take the milk round? How did you?
Well, in a van. You always had a van.
Yeah.
And I used to have to go out and help outside. And at one time, when it was during the winter, and they'd be gone on the milk round, and I'd have to go out and help clean out the cow sheds with a pitchfork, cleaning out all the hay and straw from behind the cows and everything. I even had to go out and, what do you call it, the drains. Very often, all the drains would get blocked up, and I'd have to go and help and milk them.
So the farm were mainly, it was mainly milking cows on the farm?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you were... You know, did you decide to have children, or did they just come along? Or?
Oh, they just come along, didn't they?
They did.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and when did your first child come? Do you remember when that was?
I lost the first one, actually. You see, I shouldn't tell you this, but I was expecting my first one when I got married. Because, as I said, they'd done their best down there. They'd make arrangements for Dennis to go off to a dance with somebody else. And he knew I loved dancing. That was my one passion.
Yeah.
And I did love it. And they'd make arrangements for him to take somebody else so that I couldn't go. I couldn't do what they could anyway. We decided that's what we'd do. But I lost that one. And then it was... about 18 months after I had Daphne.
Yeah.
And then we moved down to, what were you about?
That was 1946.
You were about two and a half when I had Gerald. He was born in April. We moved down to the farm in the July.
Did you have the babies at home?
The first two, yes. I had the one in the council house at my mum's. That was about 12:05.
Did the midwife come to you, to the home, your home?
No, not for that one.
No?
I don't think so.
You did it all on your own?
Can't remember whether she did or not. She did, for the second one, the midwife was. It was a district nurse, actually, not a midwife. It was just ordinary district nurse.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the nurse was when you were born. Was it Mrs. Keedwell?
Mrs. Keedwell was around then, so probably.
Hmm?
I would think perhaps it might have been Mrs. Keedwell.
Must have been. And the second one, she was from Breen.
That's when Gerald was born, is it?
Hmm?
That's when Gerald was born.
Okay.
When Gerald was born.
Oh, yeah. Down the Everdene. Yes, because Daphne was, I was up, still up in the bedroom because you had to stop in bed for so many days. And it was usually about a fortnight or so before you go gallivanting off or doing anything, not like they do today.
Yeah.
And she come up to me one day when I was still upstairs with Gerald, and I said, "Oh, come on, give Mummy a cut." The woman, the nurse looked at me, "Give Mummy a cut? What do you mean, give me a cut?" And of course, apparently it's an old Welsh saying, you know, just come and give a rug.
Yeah.
And they don't, it is a Welsh one. Yeah. And you've got to jump to find, what was it? You were looking for a pillow with it on, weren't you?
Yeah.
And she had an awful job to find one.
C-W-T-C-H.
Yeah.
And then I had Nicky down at the farm. I know when that happened, we'd been to a dinner and dance at Speech House. Must have been a farmer's do, I think, at the Speech House. And that was it.
You had him in Lydney Hospital.
Oh, yes, I went to Lydney. Well, this is another Dr. Esco's story.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to him. I think I got tonsillitis or something. And that was when that photograph was taken. And I said something about having this baby. I said, "Dennis says, he thinks I'd better go into Lydney Hospital to have it." He said, "Yes, I think you should do too." I said, "Oh, well, I hope he got a nice little bit of stuff run, or something about him having a bit of stuff while I'm down there." I said, "Well, all I hope is he does us some good. He said, well, it looks as if he done you some." And that was the way he was. Look, you never took offence at what Dr. Esco would say, because that was his way.
Yeah.
But I always remembered that. So I had Nicky and Lydney.
So what was it like bringing up a family on a farm?
I suppose no different to bringing one up off a farm, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you have to work on the farm as well as bring up the children?
Oh, not when he was little, no.
No.
You know, because Dennis usually had a man or a boy working. But at the end, when he was ill at the end, because he was ill 3 years before he died, we didn't know what was wrong with him. But before that, anyway, I used to go out and, I don't know whether Paul used to go with him on the milk round or what used to happen, but I used to go out and clean the cow sheds in the morning. And we had a great big concrete yard outside, and all these cows used to stand on there waiting to be milked. About 20 or 20-odd cows on there. So, of course, once they'd been milked and gone out, somebody had to clean the yard. And so they used to tell me, "You can put a hose pipe in my coffin with me so as I could go on with the sweeping brush." Because you used to have to do it with a hose pipe and a hard broom.
Yeah.
Clean it all down as well as the cow sheds.
Yeah. And did you know, like the other... You said there was a farmer's do at the Speech House... Were you in like the farmers' union? Did you have friends?
Oh yeah,
other
the
friends?
Farmers' union. Yeah, because years ago, they used to have a farmers' dance at Coford in the town hall.
Yeah.
When I was younger, the town hall was pulled down, but it used to be there, right in the centre. You know where the centre part of Coford.
Yeah.
Well, all the buses used to come up the side up onto there. To pick up all the, and behind it was this town hall. But they pulled it down, I don't know if it was during the war?
No. I can remember going dances there.
We went to dances there.
Eh?
We went to dances there.
Well, so when did they pull it down?
It had been in the late 60s, 70s.
It was still there when you were little, wasn't it? And if you went to dances there, well, yeah. And that was a... That was the farmer's dance. And then every year they'd have a butcher's dance at Park End. So.
And you said your husband was ill. What would happen if your husband was ill? Would you get any help or anything?
Well, only the ones that were man that was working for us at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just carried on working and that was it. He had that. Terrible cancer that lasted about 3 years. I tell you what, at the time, when you come to think about it, there was a comedian, very famous, always on the telly, and she had the same cancer. And eventually she went Yeah. And that was before he got it, because that's when he realised it was, oh, it was all over.
Non-Hodgkinson's lymphoma.
In fact, he had a most... I don't like to think of him like it, because he had a terrible death. The last I saw of him was the day before he died, in the afternoon. And he was burning from inside out. He had a fan behind him. He said, "Turn that bloody fan off," he said, "it's burning me." And the fan was on cold to try and cool him down. And after, I couldn't get up there. We couldn't get up there in time. My son come and picked me up. And you, didn't he?
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. He got to Cheltenham Hospital in 20 minutes. Mm. In the car. We got to, you know, when you go up to go to Westbury. Mm. No, Newnham. Mm. You go up around that bend. Mm. And the church. Mm. There were some lorries in front of us. He squirted down there, right across, and got in front of them lorries at the bottom to go. And before we could get there, he'd gone. He'd already laid out when we got there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, but it was, from his point of view, it was happy release, because he must... I didn't know, but my auntie knew the nurse, one of the nurses. Or she was friendly with this nurse's mother. And funny enough, she was from St. Brevels. This girl, this nurse. And she told her mother that it took 6 of them to hold him down at the last before he died. So he must have had a terrible... And he wasn't a person that deserved it, because he would never do any harm to anybody. And he'd give away what we wanted. He was so generous in everything.
A kind man.
Yeah. Oh, he was kind. He was. He wouldn't do you any harm.
Mm.
No. So. But.
So after you lost your husband, what did you do then? Did you stay on the farm for a bit?
Well, we had to leave. But what was it? 18 months. 18 months before he died, we'd sold the farm.
Mm.
And we'd come from there down there up to Usefield Lane, up the top here. And he was only there 18 months before he died.
Mm.
So.
And how old were your children then?
Well, Daphne was married.
Right, so your children
only
all left.
The one that wasn't married was Nick.
Mm.
And then he'd still been at home helping out on the farm and everything, you know.
Mm.
So.
Did any of your family stay in farming? Or?
Well, there was nobody to take it on, because... He liked farming, but he wasn't really. I don't think he would have struggled, and I'd never. And if Dennis had been alive, he would have struggled, because Dennis was an old-fashioned farmer that believed in looking after him. With all these rules and regulations that come out, he wouldn't have stuck them. He'd like to do farming in the old-fashioned way, and he would never stuck to the rules that. After that, would he, Daph?
No.
Yeah.
So.
When did you come to live up here then?
Well, just the 18 months before he died, we went to back to St. Brevels, look.
Yeah.
34 years ago.
And my father had died in the October.
Hmm.
12 months afterwards, my mother took ill. And she died in the January, and then Dennis died 12 months after. No, it's same year?
Yes,
12 months after.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Mm.
In the August.
You had said to live with you.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'd still got Nick. Nicky was still doing the milk round in Coford. Because by then we'd had to buy in the milk, because the pasteurised come in and they stopped us selling our milk. But a lot of the children around the forest was brought up on widow's milk, especially Milk Hall and Sling and all around there.
Did you send milk out that far to...?
When we lived in St. Brevels, and his father used to take it all around there from Dygrove.
gosh. See.
We used to have some bottles that I grow with. Builder's milk builds bonny babies.
Biddle's milk
builds bonny babies.
It's terrific, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
In the village, have you seen many changes over the years?
Oh, yes, because, I mean, the village is, to me, it's not gone, it's gone back to what it was when we was kids.
Mm.
I mean, you could get everything in this village. You didn't have to go out to buy anything at all.
Well, the shops provided everything.
Everything. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 grocery shops. We had 3 sweet shops. We had painters and decorators, an antique shop, and we had 4 butchers at one time in this village. And that's before all that lot was built on the cross, on that side of the crossroads.
Mm.
There was no houses there then.
So you didn't really need to leave the village?
No, we had a shoe shop where they mended and sold shoes. Mm. And the garage.
Did they have a carnival or anything in the village?
Oh, we used to have one. Yeah, we had a carnival every year.
Yeah.
I got a photograph of my brother and I when we were still going to school outside where we lived. And as dressed up as the Bristol kids. And that was for George the Fifth silver wedding, I think it is.
So that was quite a few years ago. So that was before the war again?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah, when I was about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
It's in there, isn't it, Rob?
Sorry?
It's in that thing there.
No idea.
Gosh.
Just got the Bristol kids, because that was what we went as, the Bristol children.
That's and marvellous.
It was on the opposite side of the road to the pottery.
Gosh.
Because that's where we lived next door, because that was the blacksmith shop then, and we lived in the cottage. And that cottage now is one big house. Because there were 2 cottages there, and it was made into one big house.
So there are a lot of smaller houses around.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Can we look at your pictures?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm going to turn this off now, so thank you.